Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 21, Instructions by Maharaj Prithvi. Text 33. Tam eva yuyam bhajata atma vritibhi mana vacha kaya gunai swakarmabhi amayana kamadukha angri pankajam yata adhikara avasita artha siddhaya Tvameva yuyam bhajatatma vrittibhir Mano vachakaya gunai svakarmabhi Amayina kama dugam gripankajam
Amayina
Yathadikara vasatirtha siddhaya Tvameva yuyam bhajatatma vrittibhir Mano vachakaya gunai svakarmabhi Amayana kama dugam gripankajam Yadadikara vasitartha siddhaya Tameva yuyam bhajatatma vrittibhir Mano vachakaya gunai svakarmabhi Amayana kama dugam gripankajam Yathadikara Vasitartha Siddhaya Tvameva yuyam bhajatatma vrittibhir Mano vachakaya gunai svakarmabhi Amayana kama dugam gripankajam Yathadikara vasitartha siddhaya Tvameva yuyam bhajatatma vrittibhir
Tvameva yuyam bhajatatma
වචකාය ගුණයි සුකර්මපි මනෝ වචකාය ගුණයි සුකර්මපි Yatari kara asitartha siddhaya. Tam unto him. Eva. Certainly. Yuyam. All you citizens. Bhajata, worship Atma, own Ritibi, occupational duty, Mana, mind, Vacha. Words. Kaya. Body. Gunai. By the particular qualities. Swakarmabhi. By occupational duties. Amayina. Without reservation. Kamaduga. Fulfilling all desires. Angripankajam. The lotus feet. Yata. As far as. Adhikara, ability, avasita artha, fully convinced of one's interest, siddhaya, satisfaction. Translation. Prithu Maharaj advised his citizens, engaging your minds, your words, your bodies, and the results of your occupational duties, and being always open-minded, you should all render devotional service to the Lord. According to your abilities and the occupations in which you are situated, you should engage your service at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with full confidence and without reservation. Then you will surely be successful in achieving the final objective in your lives. Please repeat. Prithu Maharaj advised his citizens, engaging your minds, your words, your bodies, and the results of your occupational duties, and being always open-minded, you should all render devotional service to the Lord. According to your abilities, and the occupations in which you are situated, you should engage your service at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with full confidence,
and without reservation.
Thus you will surely be successful in achieving the final objective in your lives. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As stated in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Swakarmana Tam Abhyarchya, one has to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead by one's occupational duties. This necessitates accepting the principle of four varnas and four ashrams. Prithu Maharaj therefore says, Gunai Swakarma Bhi. This phrase is explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Chaturvarnyam Maya Shristam Guna Karma Vibhagasa. The four castes, the Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, are created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to the material modes of nature and the particular duties discharged in those modes. A person who is situated in the mode of goodness is certainly more intelligent than others. Therefore, he can practice the brahminical activities, namely speaking the truth, controlling the senses, controlling the mind, remaining always clean, practicing tolerance, having full knowledge about one's self-identity, and understanding devotional service. In this way, if he engages himself in the loving service of the Lord as an actual Brahmin, his aim to achieve the final interest of life is attained. Similarly, the Kshatriya's duties are to give protection to the citizens, to give all his possessions in charity, to be strictly Vedic in the management of state affairs, and to be unafraid to fight whenever there is an attack by enemies. In this way, a Kshatriya can satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by his occupational duties. Similarly, a Vaishya can satisfy the Supreme Godhead by properly executing his occupational duties, engaging himself in producing foodstuffs, giving protection to cows, and trading, if necessary, when there is an excess of agricultural production. Similarly, because Shudras do not have ample intelligence, they should simply engage as workers to serve the higher statuses of social life. Everyone's aim should be to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by engaging his mind in always thinking of Krishna, his words in always offering prayers to the Lord, or preaching about the glories of the Lord, and his body in executing the service required to satisfy the Lord. As there are four divisions within our body, the head, the arms, the belly, and the legs, similarly, human society, taken as a whole, is divided into four classes of men according to their material qualities
and occupational duties. Thus, the brahminical or intelligent men have to execute the duty of the head. The kshatriyas must fulfill the duty of the arms. The vaishya class must fulfill the duty of the belly. And the kshudras must fulfill the duty of the legs. In executing the prescribed duties of life, no one is higher or lower. There are such divisions as, quote, higher, end quote, and lower, quote, end quote. But since there is actually a common interest to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there are no distinctions between them. The question may be raised that since the Lord is supposed to be worshipped by great demigods like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and others, how can an ordinary human being on this planet serve him? This is clearly explained by Prithu Maharaj by the use of the word yata adhikar, according to one's ability. If one sincerely executes his occupational duty, that will be sufficient. One does not need to become like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Indra, Lord Chaitanya, or Ramanujacharya, whose capabilities are certainly far above ours. Even a Shudra, who is in the lowest stage of life according to the material qualities, can achieve the same success. Anyone can become successful in devotional service, provided he displays no duplicity. It is explained here that one must be very frank and open-minded, amayana, to be situated in a lower status of life is not a disqualification for success in devotional service. The only qualification is that whether one is a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra, he must be open, frank, and free from reservations. Then, by performing his particular occupational duty under the guidance of a proper spiritual master, he can achieve the highest success in life. As confirmed by the Lord Himself, Striyo Vaishastha Shudras Te Piyanti Param Gati, Bhagavad Gita 9:32. It does not matter what one is, whether a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, or a degraded woman. If one engages himself seriously in devotional service, working with body, mind, and intelligence, he is sure to be successful in going back home, back to Godhead. The Lord's lotus feet are described here as Kama Dugangri Pankajam, because they have all power to fulfill the desires of everyone. A devotee is happy even in this life, because although in material existence we have many needs, all his material needs are satisfied. And when he at last quits his body, He goes back home, back to Godhead, without a doubt. Translation again. Prithu Maharaj advised his citizens, engage in your minds, your words, your bodies, and the results of your occupational duties. And being always open-minded, you should all render devotional service to the Lord, according to your abilities and the occupations in which you are situated. You should engage your service at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with full confidence and without reservation. Then you will surely be successful in achieving the final objective in your lives. Well, this verse is extremely important for all of us, because it tells us how we can be successful in achieving the final objective in our lives. Each and every one of us in the material world is a combination of spirit and matter. Our actual identity is as a spiritual soul, but we are covered by and conditioned by our material body, our senses and minds, and even intelligence. Under the influence of the three modes of material nature. And the process of becoming free from our conditioning is gradual. So the question naturally arises, I am a soul, part and parcel of Krishna, who is the Supreme Soul. And so I am meant to serve Him. But I am covered by the material body, which has certain psychophysical characteristics. So how can I serve Him in such a way as to be successful in my objective of life, which is to go back home, back to Godhead? The answer to that question is given by Maharaj Prithu in today's verse. Each of us, according to our qualities, will be suited to a particular type of work. Some people will be suited to Brahman's work, someone to Kshatriya's work, someone to Vaishya's work, someone to Sudra's work. But in a higher sense, it doesn't really matter what work one does, because the ultimate goal is the same, to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And although distinctions of higher and lower may exist in the material field, they do not exist in relation to devotees.
who are engaging in the service of the Lord, even if they are serving within the Varnashram system. And by engaging their occupational duty or the results of their work in the service of the Lord, they become purified. At the same time, everyone can engage their minds in thinking of Krishna. It doesn't matter who you are or what you are. You can engage your mind in thinking of Krishna. You can engage your words in glorifying Krishna, preaching the message of Krishna. You can engage your body in worshiping the Lord, offering obeisances to the Lord, and rendering all kinds of service to the Lord. And that principle of service with mind and words and body applies to everyone. In this purport, Srila Prabhupada refers to a verse in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text 46. Yata pravrittir bhutanam yena sarvam idam tatam sakarmanatam abhyarcheya siddhim vindanti manava. The first line is very important. Yata pravrittir bhutanam, that the Supreme Lord or the Supreme Soul is the origin of all living entities, of all the individual souls. That means He is our origin, or you could say He is our Father. And therefore we have a natural relationship with Him as servant. And when we act in our proper position as servant of the Supreme Lord, we are in our normal, healthy condition of life, in the liberated condition of life. And when we neglect our relationship with the Supreme Lord and fail to engage in His service, then we are in our diseased condition of life, our material bondage. Sometimes people raise the question, why do I have to believe in God? Why do I have to follow some religion? Why can I not just be a good person, a moral person, a just person? Well, there's a similar verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 5th chapter, text 3. Ya esham purusham sakshat atma prabhavam ishwaram. This addresses the same point, that it doesn't matter what your position in society is. Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Sudra, they are all considered to be parts of the universal form of the Lord. As it is said, the Brahmins come from the head of the Lord, universal form. The Kshatriyas come from the arms. The Vaishyas come from the belly or the thighs. And the Shudras come from the feet. So we are, of course, spiritually we are all part and parcel of the Lord. Every individual soul is part and parcel of the Supreme Soul. But even conceived in terms of our occupational duties, we are also all parts of the universal form of the Lord. And therefore, it is our duty to serve Him. It is the duty of the part to serve the whole. Now, I will continue with this verse. Ya esham purusham sakshat atma prabhavam ishwaram na bhajanti avajananti stanan vrishta patantyada. Alright, so we are all parts and parcels of the Lord. It doesn't matter, Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra. But if we do not worship the Lord, nabhajanti means we don't worship or serve the Lord. Abhajananti, or if we deliberately disrespect Him. Stanat brashta. Stana, that means our position in varnashram. Brashta, we will fall down from our position. Patantiyada. And basically go to hell. Once we were with Srila Prabhupada at a very nice life members home, and the ladies of the house prepared very nice prasad, very simple, very light, very tasty and very nourishing. Prabhupada really praised the quality of the prasad and said that we should have such quality in the temple. And then after serving us very nicely and attentively, the family seated us comfortably, and then they honored prasad. And while they were honoring prasad, Srila Prabhupada said something very shocking, sort of indicating them, but expressing a general principle. He said, even if you perform all of your duties in varna and ashram very perfectly, if you are not Krishna conscious, let this sink in. Said, even if you perform all your duties in varna and ashram very perfectly, but if you are not Krishna conscious, you will go to hell. And this struck me as a very shocking statement. A very shocking statement. And then later I came across the verse in Srimad Bhagavatam that says the same thing. In fact, so much of what Srila Prabhupada said, although it was delivered in a very natural way and realized way, what was actually a statement that could be found in Shastra. So now, how does it work that you follow the rules and regulations of Varna and Ashram very perfectly, but if you're not Krishna conscious, you go to hell? How does it happen? So the explanation of this verse from the Bhagavatam is that because you are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, or because the Supreme Lord is your origin, like your father, you have a duty to him. So if someone says, well, I'm a good person, I'm doing my duties properly, what difference does it make whether I believe in God? Well, here is the answer. The Purusha is your origin. He's like your father. If someone says, well, I'm a good person, what difference does it make if I don't know who my father is, or I don't serve my father? Well, that's a nonsensical proposition. You have to know who your father is. You have to serve your father. What's the meaning of being a good person if you neglect your father? So that's abhajanti, neglect. And then abhajananti, that's even worse. That means you deliberately disrespect or deride or mock. That's even worse. So the result is sthana brashtam, that you fall from your position. But how is it that you fall from your position? Because you're following everything perfectly. So how can you fall from your position? So the acharyas explain that if you do not have faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you will gradually lose faith in the scriptures, which are ultimately the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then when you lose faith in the scriptures, you'll stop following them. And when you stop following them, you'll engage in sinful activities. And when you engage in sinful activities, you fall down and are punished in hellish conditions. So it's a whole chain. It's a whole chain. And very interestingly, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that this fall down begins when one fails to respect the spiritual master. He says that if one respects and worships the spiritual master, then one will naturally learn to respect and worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But if one fails to respect and serve the spiritual master, he will lose faith, as we discussed, lose faith in the Supreme Lord, and more or less become an atheist. And then he'll act independent of the scriptures, engage in sinful activities, and go to hell. So it is very important that people become Krishna conscious, no matter how good they may appear in the material field, but if they are not Krishna conscious, ultimately they will fall down. But if they are good people and they add Krishna consciousness, then their goodness has value. Srila Prabhupada gave the example that someone may have many assets. Like when he came to America, he said, you have good looks, you have good education, you have material opulence, you have so many assets, but they're all zeros. And zero plus zero plus zero equals zero. But if you put a one in front of all the zeros, it becomes 1,000 or 1,000,000 or 1,000,000,000. So that one is Krishna. We have to add Krishna. Then all the zeros have value. Otherwise they're just zero. There's a somewhat similar verse in Srimad Bhagavatam that one who is not a devotee, Bhagavati Akinchana, Sarvai Gunais Tatra Samasite Sura, one who is a devotee, he automatically develops all the good qualities of the demigods. Harava Bhaktasya Kuto Mahadguna, but one who is not a devotee, where are his good qualities? He is simply hovering on the mental platform, and at any time he can fall down. So we should be very careful, so we also don't fall down. And that begins with respecting and serving the spiritual master, and through him, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, I had a sort of personal experience with this principle enunciated here in Bombay. Some of you may know the history that a very wealthy and influential man in Bombay, Mr. A.B. Nair, approached Srila Prabhupada to sell him some property in Juhu. And in the end, it turned out that Mr. Nair was trying to cheat Srila Prabhupada and keep the money that Prabhupada paid for the land, and also keep the land. So, after Srila Prabhupada entered into the agreement with Mr. Nair, he left Bombay. Prabhupada left Bombay, and I was made the temple president, and I had to deal with Mr. Nair. And Yadubara Prabhu was in Bombay for some of the time, and the two of us would go to visit Mr. Nair, and we would come away scratching our heads like, is he our friend or is he our enemy? He was so bewildering to us. We couldn't understand. Is he our well-wisher who's trying to help us, or is he our enemy who's trying to cheat us? Meanwhile, Srila Prabhupada, thousands of miles away, understood that Nair was actually trying to cheat us. And he came back to Bombay to deal with the situation. So he was staying in the Juhu scheme, it's called the Hare Krishna House. It's a nice pious Gujarati family. They named their house Hare Krishna. And they had a big house, and so we arranged for Prabhupada to stay there. Some of his disciples were there with him. And Tamal Krishna Goswami, in my presence, started telling Srila Prabhupada how Mr. Nair had bluffed me. I can't say whether he was expecting Srila Prabhupada to chastise me, but he very emphatically presented to Srila Prabhupada how Mr. Nair had taken advantage of my gullibility and had tricked me. And Srila Prabhupada replied, "Giriraj is simple. What can be done?" So this statement stuck in my mind. And I thought, this is a disqualification. Giriraj is simple. It's a disqualification. Then one morning on Juhu Beach, we were reading the Krishna book to Srila Prabhupada on his morning walk. And we read about Nanda Maharaj's meeting with Vasudev. Vasudev warned Nanda Maharaj that you please take care of your boys, Krishna and Balaram. There may be trouble. And sure enough, back in Vrindavan, so many demons were coming to kill Krishna and Balaram and cause so much trouble. So Nanda Maharaj thought, "Oh, Vasudev is a great seer. He can see into the future. He predicted that there would be trouble." But actually, Vasudev could understand that Kamsa is a tyrant, a demon, and he was definitely going to do something. He wasn't just going to let things remain as they were. He was definitely going to do something. So, reading this passage, this phrase came that Nanda Maharaj, as a simple agriculturalist, thought that Vasudev was a great seer who could read the future. So I thought, this is very peculiar. I thought being simple was a disqualification. But here Nanda Maharaj is described as simple. So I became confused, being simple as I was. So I asked Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada explained that being simple is not a bad thing for a Vaishya. It wasn't a bad thing that Nanda Maharaj was thinking, "Oh, Vasudev is a great seer, he can tell the future." But Vasudev, who was a Kshatriya, and had to deal with politics and diplomacy, he should not be simple. And then Srila Prabhupada said that ultimately it doesn't matter whether you're a Kshatriya or a Vaishya, because Vasudev, he was thinking of Krishna, and Nanda Maharaj, he was also thinking of Krishna. So it doesn't matter what your occupational duty is or what your corresponding qualities are. What matters is that you're thinking of Krishna and working to please Krishna. And that is the same point that Srila Prabhupada is making here in the purport. It's the same point that comes again and again. So it's not that a particular quality is good or bad. It depends on how it can be engaged in Krishna's service. But as long as you are engaging yourself fully in Krishna's service according to your ability and thinking of Krishna, desiring to please Him, then ultimately you get the same result. Everyone gets the same result. You go back to Godhead. And therefore, this verse describes technically, this would be called karma mishra bhakti. People, they're devotees, but at the same time, they're not ready to surrender fully to Krishna. So they remain in their position and offer the results of their work to Krishna, and at the same time engage their body, words, and mind in Krishna consciousness. And they are devotees, and they gradually become pure devotees. And a Vaishnav, a pure Vaishnav, is beyond Varna and Ashram. This word adhikar, or ability, or eligibility, refers to what work one can do, and it also refers to what level of service one can render. But anyway, the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam says that as long as one is not detached from the material world, and as long as one has not developed faith in chanting and hearing about Krishna, he should remain in his position at Varnashram Dharma. So that's, and then Krishna describes the eligibility to engage fully in devotional service, uttama bhakti. And it's related that one who's developed faith, adoshraddha, one who's developed faith in chanting and hearing about Krishna, and who is not too attached or too averse to material existence, he can achieve perfection by bhakti yoga. Now, another striking statement, Prabhupada quoted from the Bhagavad Gita, Striyo Vaishas Tata Sudras Te Iyanti Paramdhati, that anyone, you know, Vaisha, Sudra, or a woman who engages in the service of the Lord can attain the supreme destination. And at the very end he says he goes back home, back to Godhead without doubt. So I could not help but think of our departed god sister Yamuna Devi. At the end, she had no fear of death, and she was very confident of her destination, that she would go to Srila Prabhupada or somehow be engaged in Srila Prabhupada's
service and
from the report of Dina Tarine, who's her constant companion. The morning when she discovered Jamuna Devi had left, she had her hand in her bead bag, and she had a slight smile on her face. Dina Tarine said that she looked very peaceful, and not even just peaceful, but actually happy. So she had no doubt about her destination. And she is a living testimony to the statement in the Bhagavad Gita that anyone, Shriya Vaishyastatasudra, who takes full shelter of Krishna, can attain the supreme destination. Okay, we've discussed, you know, Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Sudras, but what about Striya? We haven't discussed that. What does scripture have to say about them, or what does Srila Prabhupada have to say? There are descriptions in the scripture about, you could say, the meaner nature of the fair sex. I don't know now, but in the old days, these sections were very popular reading among the brahmacharis. Like a woman's heart is sharpened like a razor. There are a number of such statements. And in the purports, Srila Prabhupada always takes care to explain that these verses very well describe the nature of women as a class, ordinary women, but they do not apply to devotee women. Yamuna Devi related that on occasion Srila Prabhupada would quote Chanakya Pandit's shloka, never trust a woman or a politician. And he would always look at Yamuna Devi to see her response. So the last time he did it was in Bombay, in a room with a few men. And Prabhupada quoted the verse and looked at her. He was laughing when he quoted it. And he looked at her and said, "So, Yamuna Devi, what do you think?" And she said, "Yes, Srila Prabhupada, what you have said is true." And then Srila Prabhupada became very serious, and in a very heartfelt way, he said to her, "But you are not a woman, you are a Vaishnava." There was another time, this is a very interesting topic, Srila Prabhupada's statements about women. There was another time when Srila Prabhupada was in Chicago, and he was making a lot of statements about women to the effect that women are less intelligent, and according to what he learned in science in school, the maximum size of a woman's brain is 36 ounces. And the maximum size of a man's brain is 64 ounces. So definitely men are more intelligent than women.
I'm from Chicago, and so my parents, I hardly visit home. Oh, first it was like once every 3 years, then once a year. But while I was away, my parents would cut out all the newspaper articles about ISKCON. So when I came back once to visit them briefly, my desk drawer was full of articles about Prabhupada's visit to Chicago. There was a big one in the Chicago Sun-Times. The headline was, "No Mother Superior in His Religion," with "his" in italics. And like all these articles. So, that anyway, we can come back to that. But so before Prabhupada left Chicago, he was in the airport. And this, same thing, the newspaper report, the whole controversy is a very big topic. And while he was sitting there with some of the men, some of the ladies, disciples, they were distributing books. And at the end, when Srila Prabhupada got up, He smiled very broadly in approval and appreciation of his lady disciples. And then he said, "Except them, they have 64 outsprings." So, there's a point here. There's a point here. One other story was related to me by my godbrother Tejas Das. Srila Prabhupada was staying at the Calcutta Temple, Ray Castle, 3 Albert Road, and he went for a morning walk just across the street at the Pukur, the bathing tank across the street from the temple. And he was surrounded by men. The only devotees on the walk were men. And all the men wanted to get as close to him as possible. So there was this sort of hierarchy among the men. Like the sannyasis were first, they were the closest. Then the grihastas, who had a position, were next. And then, I guess last were the ones who didn't have any position or who didn't want to fight to get close. So Tejas was in the last category, but he said he could hear everything perfectly from where he was. And the ladies stayed back, and they were cooking for the deities, cooking for the devotees, cleaning the temple, dressing the deities, decorating the deities, cleaning Srila Prabhupada's quarters. They're engaged in so much service back at the temple. So on this particular walk, one of the sannyasis was very strongly expressing the view that women are Maya. And Srila Prabhupada was just listening, wasn't speaking much, but Tejas could hear every once in a while a sort of sound of approval or agreement. But otherwise, Prabhupada didn't say much. And the sannyasi continued, "Women are Maya." And then at one stage, Prabhupada stopped
And he put his cane down and he said, yes, women are Maya. So, yes, so happy. So, the time for the walk to end arrived, and Srila Prabhupada, followed by the sannyasis and the grihasthas with positions and the ordinary grihastha, went up the stairs. And when they got to the top of the stairs, a few of the ladies were waiting for him with a garland, you know, waiting to greet him, and one of them had a garland. He thinks it was Yamuna Devi. So she gave Srila Prabhupada the garland. And as Srila Prabhupada was standing there, being greeted by his lady disciples, he turned to the sannyasis and the other devotees, and referring to that statement, women are Maya, he said, except these women. By associating with these women, you'll go back to Godhead. So, now, but still, what about all these statements? I went through a period when I was listening to all of Srila Prabhupada's radio interviews, television interviews, press conferences, and there was a period when this came up quite a bit. And I was thinking, what is this? What is Prabhupada saying here? What is he actually saying? What is the point? And without going into the details, but I would say that Srila Prabhupada had a very deep sense of compassion for the women, and he didn't like them being abandoned and exploited by the men. And he felt that the man's psychology is such that the man wants to feel that he's in control of the woman. Like he's in control, he's the proprietor, and he's the master, and the woman is the servant. And when the man feels that his wife is, you know, humble and submissive and obedient, then he feels like protecting her. And if he thinks, oh, she doesn't do what I say anyway, she, you know, they think, oh, why even bother, you know, let her take care of herself. So, it's really not what it might appear to be on the surface. And like I said, I heard again and again and again. And when he got to Philadelphia from Chicago, someone in Philadelphia, a member of the press, brought up the same question. And Prabhupada didn't even really want to discuss it. He said, you know, but then he had to. Because they asked, but I think that was the real point, that he didn't want them to be exploited and abandoned. And knowing the male psychology, he wanted them to act in that sort of conventional woman's role to satisfy the male in his conception, so that he would feel inspired to protect her, stay with her and protect her. But again, this is the material platform, but spiritually there's no question. And it is not only a great mistake, but I would say a serious offense to to view a woman who's a Vaishnava as a woman. Just like there's the verse that Narakisa, I'm not remembering the whole verse, but the idea that if you see the deity, if you think the deity is made of stone, if you think Charanamrita is ordinary water, if you think the spiritual master is an ordinary human being, or if you think a devotee belongs to a particular community, then that is a hellish mentality. Or as Prabhupada sometimes translated, someone who thinks like that is a resident of hell. So, if you're thinking of a woman who's a devotee as a woman, just like it would be an offense to think, oh, that Vaishnava, he's like a sudra, you know, like from Lop, or Mlecha, you know. It's an offense. So, I would venture that in the same way, it's an offense to think of a woman who's actually a Vaishnava or Vaishnavi as a woman, because she's beyond that. That said, you know, there is a certain etiquette that has to be observed, and that etiquette must be maintained. And there's so many warnings of butter and fire. If you bring the butter too close to the butter will melt. The butter has no intention of melting, but when it comes in close proximity to the fire, it melts anyway. So that instruction is there for brahmacharis, and the description of brahmachari life, brahmachari guru kuleva sandanta guru arhita. So in the Bhagavatam's instructions for brahmacharya the gurukul, that's one of the injunctions. And there are other injunctions that one should not be alone in a room or in a secluded place with a woman, even if she's one's mother or sister or daughter. And as Prabhupada says, someone may say, well, that may apply to some rascal. But the Sanskrit says vipan, even a learned person, the senses are so powerful, the mind and senses are so powerful that they can carry away even a learned person. So in that sense we have to be very careful. But as with so many of the instructions, one has to consider time, place, and circumstance, but that's the general rule, and that is there for a reason. It's there for a reason. Srila Prabhupada was not always like that. Like once, I think it was in Juhu, he was in the kitchen with one of the ladies, just by her side over the burgers, and you know, a sort of sweet, intimate, affectionate situation. And Tamakrishna Goswami came, and Srila Prabhupada said, I'm an old man, I can do this, but you're young, you can't do this. The thing about imitating, that's another very important point. I think that's what this verse means by open-hearted and frank, that one should be realistic about one's adhikar, about one's ability, and not try to imitate someone else, but realistically understand one's own position. and act in the way that's appropriate for his position or her position and make progress from there. Same thing with Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev. Nanda Maharaj was a simple agriculturalist, no problem if he's a simple agriculturalist. But if he wants to imitate, oh, I want to be Vasudev, I don't want to be Nanda Maharaj, then there's a problem. So we should be very frank and open and honest with ourselves. What is our position? What is our adhikar? And we should act in our position. It doesn't matter what our position is. But whatever our position is, sthanesthita, you remain in your position. Shruti Katha, you listen to talks about Krishna. Tanmano Bhira, the same thing, with body, mind, and words. And if one does that, Krishna, who's ajita, unconquerable, he becomes conquered. So it doesn't matter what position we're in, we should be open and frank. What is our position? And act in our position fully in the service of the Lord, with full confidence in the Lord and the Lord's protection and the Lord's promise, and engaging in chanting and hearing and remembering. And we will, it's guaranteed by Krishna that you will achieve the supreme destination. And it's not just a theory. Any number of Prabhupada's disciples, grand disciples, followers, they have made their life successful by placing their faith in Srila Prabhupada's instructions and the instructions of the scripture, and following the instructions to their ability. Not imitating, oh, I have to be Ramanujacharya, or I have to be Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Whatever capacity they have, however big or small, engage fully according to their ability. And in the end, they can be successful and go back home, back to Godhead. And what does that mean, go back home, back to Godhead? That also doesn't mean a physical place. And in one conversation, Jaitantaka Swami said, what does it mean, back to Godhead? Because a pure devotee, he has no desire even for liberation. So Prabhupada confirmed that getting back to Godhead really needs to be engaged in pure devotional service. That's what back to Godhead means. It doesn't matter where you are geographically. And so these devotees, whose only desire was to serve Srila Prabhupada and please Srila Prabhupada, they are bound to continue their service to Srila Prabhupada in the next life. And okay, that might be here, that might be on the planet in the material world where Krishna's having his pastimes. But for the pure devotee, that whatever Guru and Krishna want, the pure devotee just wants to serve. He doesn't place any conditions. So we do have these shining examples. It is possible for each and every one of us. Yes, even not everyone can be a Yamunadevi, but you can be who you are and put your faith in Prabhupada and Krishna and serve to your capacity, whatever it is, and you can achieve the same result. Hare Krishna. So are there any questions or comments?
Yes.
Radha Priya Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Lord, I thank you very much. You have explained the position of women so nicely. Usually people sit on the Vyasasana and they just describe the woman according to the Doha Pulkidas, Gol Gavar, Sutra Pashnari, Yisab Taran Ki Adhikari. And in society also, women are considered like that. It's a Indian society is usually is a man-made society owned by a man. They just touch the woman, they control, like you control the woman. The woman wants to say something, they don't want to listen. And on the other side, the women in olden times were so innocent, they used to say, Pati Parmeshwar, my Pati is a Parmeshwar, he is like Ishwar. We need not to worship God even. They were like that. And the men were like that, they are pressed of women. So we thank Sri Guru Maharaj, ISKCON, Prabhupada, who has just so open minded toward the women in their place, the women in such a nice place. Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you. Yeah, well, ideally, the man should be a servant of Guru and Krishna. And then, so if the woman serves her husband, then she's the servant of the servant of Krishna, which is the best position. We all want to be in the position of servant of the servant of Krishna. So that's the ideal situation. That was the idea. But what you described, that the man, without being the servant of the spiritual master and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he wants to be the master. That's the material disease. We come into the material world in envy of Krishna. And we want to be the master. We want to be the controller. We want to be the enjoyer. We want to be the proprietor. And then they treat the wife like that, like their property to use as they like. And that is described here. They're fallen. They fall down because they're not maintaining their position of subordination to Guru and Krishna. Yes, Mother Lakshmi Moni.
Once I was in a room in Mayapur with Srila Prabhupada and discussing similar topics. Prabhupada started by saying that in Vedic society, everyone's position can be told by how they dress. Some symbol of how they dress. And the conversation came around to women should be treated as mother, not just called mother, but treated like mother. And so then one sannyasi made a comment, he said, well, I think Srila Prabhupada, that they think, you know, in that prayer where they say you should, when I think of sex life, I spit on it. So they think, well, when I think of woman, I spit on her, or I spit on it. And Prabhupada closed his eyes for a few seconds and he said, first let them become free from sex desire, then let them spit.
Yeah. That's right. There is a story that one sort of wealthy person came to Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. He had recently married, and so he wanted to inform Babaji Maharaj and get his blessings. And Babaji Maharaj replied that it's very good that you have a wife now, so you should see her as Krishna's property or Krishna's servant for you to take care of and to serve. And basically he enumerated all the menial services that the husband was probably thinking that the wife should do for him. And he basically made that point that you should see her as a servant of Krishna and yourself as her servant, servant of Krishna. And in general, when Srila Prabhupada was asked about dissension among devotees, disagreements among devotees or conflicts among devotees, he said that if each devotee thinks I'm the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, then all the problems will be solved. So if the wife thinks I'm the servant of my husband, who's the servant of Krishna, the husband thinks I'm the servant of my wife, who's the servant of Krishna, servant of the children, who are also devotees of Krishna or servants of Krishna, then all the relationships will be very congenial and everyone can go back home, back to Godhead together. So thank you for that that story of Srila Prabhupada. Any other questions or comments? Alright, so we have about 5 minutes, but I won't take it. But I'll just mention today is Lochan Das Thakur's disappearance date. He was a very great devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada says almost contemporary. I think he was, you know, maybe 11 years old or something when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wound up his Manifest Pastimes. He wrote many nice songs, Parama Karuna, which Prabhupada liked very much. It was written by him. Today is also taken to be the appearance day of Jesus. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur accepted Jesus as a Shaktyavesh avatar. Shaktyavesh avatar means a living entity who is empowered by Krishna's Shakti. That's Shaktyavesh, and avatar means one who descends. So we can take it that Jesus descended from a higher realm into the material world, and he was imbued with some of Krishna's potency, and thus he was able to preach God consciousness according to the adhikar of the people that he was addressing. Their adhikar was not so much, but he spoke in a way that enabled them from their positions to become more God conscious and make progress. And at one stage, Srila Prabhupada, in great humility, he said he takes the dust of the feet of Lord Jesus on his head, and he said that it's only by the mercy of Jesus Christ that the Krishna consciousness movement has been able to spread in the Western countries. So we accept him as a devotee, that would also be an offense. In many of Prabhupada's early talks about the 10 offenses and initiations, in that topic of sadhu-ninda, blaspheming devotees, he would often explain that that refers to Jesus and Muhammad and others who are devotees. They may not be in our tradition, the Vedic tradition or the Vaishnav tradition or the Gaudiya Vaishnav tradition, but they are also devotees, and we should not blaspheme them, but we should recognize that they are also devotees who are rendering service to the Lord according to time, place, and circumstance. Well, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.